السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، وعلى حفيده الإمام أبو الحسن علي بن موسى الرضا صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله اصطفى آدم ونوحا وآل إبراهيم وآل عمران على العالمين ذرية بعضها من بعض والله سميع عليم. صدق الله العلي العظيم. Congratulations to all of you, my friends, my brothers, my sisters worldwide, on this beautiful occasion, on the 11th of Dhul Qa'dah, the anniversary of the birth of the 8th Imam of the school of Ahlul Bayt, the 8th successor to the Prophet, peace be upon him, Al-Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha, alayhi salatu wassalam. I'm going to speak about two aspects of his life because my time is limited. So I'm going to touch upon the historic account of his life and the period that he lived in to get some understanding about the identity of the Imam and the era where he lived. And the second aspect is his role, his contribution, his influence, his reforms, his leadership, his intellectual contribution, his political leadership, his moral change, and the impact he left on the community during his time and after his time. So the Imam alayhi salam lived only 55 years. He was born in Medina in year 148 Hijri, and he died in Khurasan in what used to be called at that time Marw, specifically Tus, and being very specific, Sanabad, which is today's Mashhad. He died in year 203 Hijri. So his life lasted only 55 years. And his father is Al-Imam, the seventh Imam, Imam Musa ibn Ja'far Al-Kadhim alayhi salatu wassalam, who died in the prison of the Abbasid Caliph Harun al-Abbasi in the city of Baghdad in year 183. So in year 183, Imam al-Ridha became officially the successor and the Imam of the school of Ahlul Bayt. As I said, his first name is Ali. His nickname is Abu al-Hasan al-Thani, because his father Imam Musa alayhi salam was Abu al-Hasan al-Madi. We have three Abu al-Hasans. The first one is Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salam. The second one is Imam Musa al-Kadhim, who is nicknamed Abu al-Hasan al-Madi. And the third one is Imam Ridha alayhi salam, who is nicknamed Abu al-Hasan al-Thani. And his last name and his title is al-Ridha. And all these titles have been given to our Imams by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. His mother's name is, she has two names apparently. One is Arwa and the second is Tuktam. And she was Ummu Walad. Ummu Walad in Arabic means that she was a maid, she was a slave. And then she delivered the Imam alayhi salam. And she was freed by her owner, which is Al-Imam, موسى الكاظم عليه الصلاة والسلام. And she delivered the baby Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha for him. So his mother was owned previously, and the Imam freed her, because when she begets a son or a child, then the owner would free her. And this is what happened to his mother. Therefore, Imam al-Ridha was very humble. One day, a person said to him, "Anta afdalu an-nas." You are the best person on earth. The Imam answered him out of a humility and humbleness. Imam said to him, "Khayrun minni man kana atqa lillahi azza wa jal wa atwa'u lahu." Better than me is the one who is more pious and more submissive to God. And then he read this verse from chapter 49, Surah Al-Hujurat, Chambers. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. Verily, the most honorable among you in the eyes of God, عند الله, is the one who is more pious, more righteous, more self-disciplined, having more self-control. That person is the best person in the eyes of God. Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha alayhi salatu wassalam was born only less than 2 weeks after the death of his grandfather Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam in the year 148 Hijri in Medina. And about 137 years after the death of his great-grandfather, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And 16 years after the collapse of the Umayyad dynasty in Damascus. 16 years after they collapsed. And he lived through the era of 6 or 7 Abbasid caliphs. He lived the era of the second Abbasid caliph, Abu Ja'far al-Dawaniqi, or Abu Ja'far al-Mansur, followed by the other Abbasid caliph, the son of al-Mansur, whose name was al-Mahdi, followed by al-Hadi, who is the grandson of Abu Ja'far al-Mansur, followed by Harun al-Abbasi, Harun, who is buried in Tus, in Khurasan, followed by Al-Amin, the first son of Harun, who did not last for long, and followed by Al-Ma'mun Al-Abbasi, who poisoned Imam al-Ridha, who poisoned the Imam, and he murdered him in Tus, Khurasan, year 203 Hijri. And the Ma'mun was younger than the Imam, about 22 years younger than Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha. And Ma'mun himself, he died in 218 Hijri in Tartus, Syria, because he was on a trip to that area. On the way back, he got sick and he died. And his death is a very interesting story. I might mention it some other times, inshallah. So, Mansur al-Abbasi, Abu Ja'far al-Mansur, murdered the sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq. Harun al-Abbasi murdered the seventh Imam, Imam Musa al-Kadhim. And Ma'mun al-Abbasi murdered the eighth Imam, Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha, alayhi salatu wassalam. The era of the Imam, or his life, could be divided into 3 main sections. I'm trying to simplify the history. History is a bit complicated. So I'll do my best to make it very simple for the listeners, for the watchers, to understand the Islamic history within the time frame that I have, because I can't go more than 30 or max 35 minutes. So I'll do my best to make it simple for people to follow. So the life of Imam Ali ibn Musa Rida is divided into three main sections. The main section is from birth in 148 Hijri till the death of his father in 183 Hijri, which is about 35 years. And he was living in Medina. Then in year 183, when his father died in Baghdad, in the prison of Harun, Imam Musa al-Kadhim was imprisoned, some people say 3 years, some people say 5 years, and not continuously. He was on and off. They put him in jail, then they release him, then they take him again. Some people believe on and off lasted for 11 years during the time of Harun al-Abbasi. He was jailed in Basra and Baghdad. So between Basra and Baghdad, that was several years until he died in jail. So Imam al-Rida became Imam, assumed the Imamah and the Khilafah after the departure of his father, Imam al-Kadhim, alayhi salatu wasalam, in year 183. And he was still in Medina. And he stayed 17 years in Medina. So the total number of the years he spent in Medina was about 52 years. Of course, during these 52 years, he left Medina. He went to Iraq because his father was in Iraq at some time. And the Abbasid capital was in Iraq, so the caliph would summon him with his father, so he had to go. But the total number, roughly, of the years he spent in Medina are 52 years. And then he spent the last years, and that is the third section of his life, the last 3 years of his life he spent in Khorasan, in Tus. Some people think that the Imam was born and raised in Mashhad in Khorasan. No, this is not the case. When Imam came to Khorasan, he was 52 years old. So he lived only 3 years, the last 3 years of his life in Tus. But now when you go and look at his shrine, this is a huge, huge, majestic compound with millions and millions of visitors every year. You assume that the Imam was born there. The Imam was raised in that country. This is not the case. Imam went there at the age of 53 and died at the age of 55. He was there only for 3 years. That country hosted the Imam for 3 years. And look how that country now is attached to the Imam. He's a national hero. Not only Muslims visit the shrine of Imam al-Rida. Jews, Armenians, Christians, other religions, they pay tribute to him. He's a national hero. And the story when he arrived, the way they received him, he was given a hero's welcome when he arrived in Tus. At that time, it used to be Marw. And along the way, all the way from Medina to Tus, which lasted for several months, Imam al-Rida received hero's welcome. People would welcome him because they heard about him. He was very charismatic. Physically, he was perfect. Mentally, intellectually, morally, spiritually. Even non-Muslims at that time, scholars, non-Islamic scholars from other faiths, from other religious traditions, they loved the Imam. They followed him. They listened to him. They studied under him. They adorned the Imam. So everybody knew about him. And this is why, and I'm going to mention this later, this made the caliph to feel insecure. Part of it, jealousy. Ma'mun was jealous of the Imam. Part of it, he felt insecure that the Imam is getting all the attention. And this would leave me insecure. And I'm going to come to this part soon. But Let's hear what some great scholars and a great leader said about Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha. His father, Imam Musa al-Kadhim, said to his siblings and to his brothers, to the brothers of Imam al-Ridha, he said, هَذَا أَخُوكُمْ عَلِيُّ بْنُ مُوسَى عَالِمُ آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ This is your brother Ali. He's the scholar, the most knowledgeable of the family of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. سَلُوهُ عَنْ أَدْيَانِكُمْ Ask him about questions about religion. وَاحْفَظُوا مَا يَقُولُ لَكُمْ And remember what he is going to tell you. فَإِنِّي سَمِعْتُ أَبِي جَعْفَرَ بْنَ مُحَمَّدٍ I heard my father, Imam al-Sadiq, يَقُولُ لِي إِنَّ عَالِمَ آلَ مُحَمَّدٍ لَفِي صُلْبِكَ The knowledgeable, the most knowledgeable of the family of the Prophet, he comes from you. وَلَيْتَنِي أَدْرَكْتُهُ Imam al-Sadiq said, I wish I can meet Imam al-Ridha. But you know, Imam al-Ridha was born only a few days, maybe 10 days after the death. Maybe more than 10 days, because Imam al-Sadiq died on the 25th of the month of Shawwal, in year 148 Hijri. Imam al-Ridha was born the following month, on the 11th of Dhul-Qa'dah, which is like tonight or tomorrow, same year. So a few days after the departure of his grandfather, Imam al-Sadiq. Ma'mun al-Abbasi, the caliph, he said one day, this is the statement of Ma'mun al-Abbasi, مَا أَعْلَمُ أَحَدًا أَفْضَلَ مِنْ هَذَا الرَّجُلِ I do not know any person better than this man, pointing to Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha. عَلَى وَجْهِ الْأَرْضِ On the surface of earth. Imam Ibn Majah says about him, Ibn Majah al-Qazwini says, كان سيد بني هاشم Imam al-Ridha was the leader of the family of Hashim وكان المأمون يعظمه ويبجله The caliph, the Ma'mun used to sanctify him and honor him وعهد له بالخلافة and he bestowed the regency on him to become the crown prince وأخذ له العهد And then he asked people to pay allegiance and bay'ah to Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha. Ibn Hajar, in his book Tahdhib al-Tahdhib, again one of the greatest Sunni scholars, says, كَانَ الرِّضَى مِنْ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ وَالْفَضْلِ مَعَ شَرَفِ النَّسَبِ Imam al-Ridha was a person of knowledge, a person of virtue, and of course, with the honorable lineage that he enjoyed. Dhahabi, Imam al-Dhahabi in his book, he's a historian, well-known historian of Dhahabi, and he has a book called Tarikh al-Islam. Dhahabi did not have good relationship with Ahlul Bayt. And if you follow his book, you would find that he had a prejudice against the family of the Prophet. But yet, in his book, he speaks about Imam al-Ridha. He says, Al-Imam Abu al-Hasan ibn Musa al-Kadhim, ابن جعفر الصادق ابن محمد الباقر ابن علي زين العابدين ابن الحسين بن علي ابن أبي طالب الهاشمي العلوي وكان سيد بني هاشم He was the leader, the master of the family of Hashim في زمانه وأحلمهم A person with forbearance وأنبلهم And the most honorable. وَكَانَ الْمَأْمُونُ يُعَظِّمُهُ The caliph used to sanctify him. وَيَخْضَعُ لَهُ And he would be submissive to him. The caliph, the top leader. But when he sits with Imam al-Ridha, he becomes so small before the Imam. He would submit to the Imam. Become submissive to the Imam. وَيَتَغَالَى فِيهِ And he would really honor him to the highest extent. حَتَّى أَنَّهُ جَعَلَهُ وَلِيَّ عَهْدِهِ To the extent that he asked him to be his successor. And of course, there are many other statements by great leaders. There was a poet by the name of Abu Nu'as. Abu Nu'as, very famous in the Arabic literature and Arabic poetry, and he lived during the Abbasid era. But he loved Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha. So one day they said to him, you love Imam al-Ridha, but you never said any poetry about him. You never praised him in your poetry. So this is the answer he gave. He said, what can I say about a man that Jibreel was serving his father? Jibreel was serving his grandfather, the Prophet. What do you expect me to say about him? I cannot, whatever I'm going to say, it's not going to be enough. I'm not going to do justice to this man in any poetry. And then he said the following, قِيلَ لِي أَنْتَ أَشْعَرُ النَّاسِ طُرًّا. I was told that I am the most able and potent poet. فِي فُنُونٍ مِنَ الْكَلَامِ النَّبِيهِ لَكَ مِنْ جَوْهَرِ الْكَلَامِ بَدِيعٌ يُثْمِرُ الدُّرَّ فِي يَدَيْ مُجْتَنِيهِ فَعَلَامَ تَرَكْتَ مَدْحَ ابْنِ مُوسَى وَالْخِصَالَ الَّتِي تَجَمَّعْنَ فِيهِ قُلْتُ لَا أَهْتَدِي لِمَدْحِ إِمَامٍ كَانَ جِبْرِيلُ خَادِمًا لِأَبِيهِ. I was told, why then you never said anything about Imam Ridha? And I answered, because I really don't know what to say about this man. Everything I'm going to say about Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha is going to be insufficient. I'm not going to do justice. Because this man that you see, Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha, Jibreel, the greatest angel of God, was a servant to his grandfather. In another time, another occasion, he met Imam al-Ridha while Imam al-Ridha was in the street, and he recited this regarding Ahlul Bayt, مُطَهَّرُونَ نَقِيَّاتٌ ثِيَابُهُمُ تَجْرِ الصَّلَاةُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَيْنَمَا ذُكِرُ. Those people are purified. Wherever their name is mentioned, people have to send their salutations and prayers upon them. مطهرون نقيات ثيابهم تجري الصلاة عليهم أينما ذكروا من لم يكن علويا حين تنسبه فما له من قديم الدهر مفتخر. If he's not the descendant of Ali, and Alawi here in this context does not mean a cult, does not mean those Alawites of Syria or Turkey. Alawi at that time, during the time of Bani Umayyah, Bani al-Abbas, and other times, it used to be called about people who are the descendants of Ali and Fatima, Ali ibn Abi Talib and Fatima al-Zahra, and who followed the path of Ahlul Bayt. So that was the name of the Shia at that time. من لم يكن علويا حين تنسبه فما له من قديم الدهر مفتخر. If he's not a descendant of Ali and Fatima, then he has no past credit. والله لما برا خلقا وأتقنه صفاكم واصطفاكم أيها البشر. When God decided to create this creation, he chose you. And this is from the Quran. God says, I chose, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى آدَمَ وَنُوحًا وَآلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَآلَ عِمْرَانَ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ ذُرِّيَّةً بَعْضُهَا مِنْ بَعْضٍ وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. God has chosen, selected those names and those households above mankind. والله لما برا خلقا وأتقنه صفاكم واصطفاكم أيها البشر فأنتم الملأ الأعلى وعندكم أم الكتاب وما جاءت به السور. You are the chosen people. أنتم الملأ الأعلى. You are high in your nobility, in your characters, in your honesty, in your truth, in your manners, in your conduct, in your life, in your legacy. You are the highest. The Prophet and his family are the highest. They cannot be compared to ordinary people, my friends. They cannot. This is not a prejudice. This is not discrimination. This is not racism. This is God's choice. If you want to call it racism, it's okay. But God says in Surah Al-Imran, in this book, in the Holy Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى. God has chosen. But God has chosen not out of arrogance or racism or bias, because God knows who to choose. الله يعلم حيث يجعل رسالته. God knows who to choose for this function, for this task, for this role, for this leadership. God knows. God looks inside. His vision penetrates inside our hearts. He knows about our intentions. يعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور. God knows deep inside us. God has a special x-ray, special scanning system that knows about the soul and our thinking and our aspirations and our goals and our intentions. He knows everything. This is why he chooses the best. So it's not about racism. It's not about. And the family of the Prophet were the most humble, the most humble. And they learned that from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the lady passed by him, he was sitting on the floor. No couch, no seat. And he was eating. She said to him, Ya Muhammad, araka jalisan jalsat al-abd. The way you sit, it's like a slave. The Prophet raised his head and he smiled. And he said, you are right. وَمَنْ أَعْبَدُ مِنِّي. Who is more slave to his Lord than me? You are right. I'm slave. I'm a slave of my Lord. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. So they had no arrogance. They didn't take a pride in that. In fact, they utilized their honor and their family and their lineage to serve, to defend, to give, to contribute, to sacrifice. They never sat there and bragged about their family. They never. They always invited people to be humble. And they were example of humility. So, that is the first part. The second part is his political leadership. The political leadership of the Imam. Let me also simplify and say that the Abbasid are the descendant of the uncle of the Prophet. So the uncle of the Prophet, the youngest uncle of the Prophet is Al-Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalib. He had a son by the name of Abdullah ibn Abbas, which was very virtuous, very honorable. He's the first cousin of the Prophet and the first cousin of Imam Ali and the student and the disciple and the closest person to Imam Ali, Abdullah ibn al-Abbas. Then Abdullah had a son by the name of Ali, his youngest children. Then Ali had a son by the name of Muhammad. Then Muhammad had children, many children, who established the Abbasid dynasty in Baghdad, who fought the Bani Umayyah, and then they used the name of Ahlul Bayt. Their slogan was to support Ahlul Bayt, to bring truth and justice through Ahlul Bayt, the family of the Prophet. Started by Abu al-Abbas al-Saffah, one of the children. He was the first caliph, succeeded by Abu Ja'far al-Mansur. And Abu Ja'far, unfortunately, was the one who murdered Imam al-Sadiq. So can you imagine people before government and after government? Before government, they were good. They were nice. They were promoting the cause of Ahlul Bayt. They were fighting the corruption and injustice and oppression of Bani Umayyah. But once they reached the palace, things changed. And you can see it today in many leaders and many presidents. Before they reach the palace, they are good people, nice, humble. But once they occupy that seat, that damn seat, they shift 180%. Abbasid, in the beginning, they called for Ahlul Bayt. They were promoting, they were working for Ahlul Bayt. They said that we have to bring the Khilafah, restore the Khilafah for Ahlul Bayt, the family of the Prophet. But once they occupied the seat and the palace, they changed 180 degrees. They turned against Ahlul Bayt. They murdered the Imams of Ahlul Bayt. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى أَنْ رَآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. This is the result of wealth. This is the result of power. This is the result of government. Government is a disease. The seat is a disease. People change. We've seen this in the past and we see it today. We see it in Muslim countries and non-Muslim countries. How people get corrupted once they become powerful, once they grab power, once they are in control. They forget about their principles, their values, their religion. They forget everything. Abu al-Abbas al-Saffah was lenient with Ahlul Bayt. But when the turn came to his brother Abu Ja'far al-Mansur, he had so much hate for Ahlul Bayt. And then he was the one who promoted the Shaykhain. During his time, every speaker who gives sermon on a Friday had to mention the name of Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman. Before that, nobody mentioned them. And he was the one who clamped down on Ahlul Bayt, but at the same time, he gave much freedom for others. And he was, Mansur, was the one who encouraged others to establish madahib, schools of thought, to rival Ahlul Bayt. He was the one who asked Imam Malik ibn Anas to write his book Al-Muwatta, which became the constitution of the Abbasid state. And he was the one who said, لا يفتى ومالك في المدينة. Nobody has the right. Imam al-Sadiq was in Medina, and Imam al-Sadiq is the mentor and teacher of Imam Malik. But Imam al-Sadiq had no right to give fatwa. He was under house arrest. But others were encouraged to speak. These are realities. People do not know about them. All what they know about the Abbasite is 1,000 nights and one night. Alf layla wa layla. They know that it was the golden age. Golden age for the caliphs, for the Abbasite themselves, but not a golden age for the seekers of the truth, for the freedom fighters, for the Imams of Ahlul Bayt. It was not a golden age. Our Imams were poisoned, were imprisoned, and were murdered. And he wanted to make Imam al-Ridha Waliyul Ahd because he was desperate for legitimacy, al-Ma'mun al-Abbasi. Because Ma'mun al-Abbasi had a conflict with his siblings. He had a war for lasted 5 years with his brother al-Amin in Baghdad. And then he murdered his own brother al-Amin. And therefore, the Abbasite turned against al-Ma'mun. So he wanted some legitimacy, some facelift. Therefore, he tried to appoint the Imam as Waliyul Ahd, the crown prince, to buy and win the sympathy of the Shia of Ahlul Bayt. And also to put Imam under control and to curtail his freedom, because Shiaism at that time was flourishing. Shiaism at that time was on the rise because people saw the truth in Ahlul Bayt. People saw that this family of the Prophet are the true representatives of Islam. Imam al-Ridha was very charismatic. People loved him. People, whenever they looked at his face, they fall in love with him instantly. And they know that those are the right people. People who are in the palace are the wrong. They don't represent the Ummah. They don't represent Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just like today, my friends. Who is in control today of this country? People who love America? People who really care about America? Same story yesterday. So he asked the Imam to come and he put a pressure on him and he threatened him. He threatened to murder Imam al-Ridha if he does not accept Wilayatul Ahd, the regency. And therefore Imam moved from Medina all the way to Marw. His Wilayatul Ahd lasted only 1 year and a half. And Imam al-Ridha said, during this 1 year and a half, I'm not going to be in charge of anything. I don't want to be a supporter of this corrupt regime. And then during this period in Maru, and Maru at that time was the capital of Islam because it was shifted from Baghdad to Maru by Ma'mun. And then, of course, he took it back to Baghdad. But during the time of Imam al-Ridha, Maru, Khurasan, was the capital of Islam. Imam had many debates, discussions with the leaders, top leaders of other adyan, other religions, and he was always the winner. The bombardment begins as soon as he comes to the session. Left and right, they ask him difficult questions. Imam is relaxed, smiling, and he would answer them one by one. People were amazed. Incredible sessions. You have to read. We have to allocate a whole session about these sessions of debate, munadhara, between Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam on the one hand and the leaders of other adyan. Imam al-Ma'mun, Khalifa al-Ma'mun felt insecure. Therefore, he poisoned Imam al-Ridha, where he died in the month of Safar in year 203 Hijri in Khurasan. يا أرض طوس سقاك الله رحمته ماذا ضمنت من الخيرات يا طوس. Beautiful land, beautiful shrine. And we turn to him tonight and we say, يا أبا الحسن يا علي بن موسى الرضا. You have a great status with your Lord, and your Lord would listen to you. Please reach out to us. Reach out to the Muslims, to the non-Muslims, to mankind. We are in distress. We send this distress signal to you from thousands of miles to your shrine. And we want you to listen. And we want you to carry this petition on our behalf to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove this calamity and this pandemic from the entire humanity. As-salatu was-salamu alayka sayyidi wa ya mawlai ya Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma kun li waliyika al-Hujjat ibn al-Hasan salawatuka alayhi wa ala abaihi fi hadhihi as-sa'ati wa fi kulli sa'a وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.